balance of the autonomy of the sport.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Okay, the next person to present is Mats de Wolf. Mats is a PhD student at the University of Loughborough, doing his PhD on the Trial Council Presidency in EU Policymaking. And I think Mats, your paper here has a slightly different focus, it seems, on explaining institutional design, although maybe the presidency plays a role, we'll see. And establishing procedures for the coordination and representation of European Union positions in the WADA and Council of Europe.
Exactly. It is part of my larger PhD project, but it's two of the cases that I'm trying to explain and understand. I should start by saying that these are very preliminary findings. In the process of doing research in Brussels these last 3 months, and I'm not quite done, but hopefully it's more. The EU's external representation is interesting for a number of reasons. First of all, because the rise of EU sports policy has been driven to a large degree by the relations with the international sporting bodies. At the same time, there is now a treaty competency there, which aims to develop the European dimension in sport. And the EU does this through many different channels. It does through EU programs, by regulation, but also through representation in external bodies. And today I'll be focusing on the World Anti-Doping Agency and the Council of Europe with regard to the drafting of an international convention on match fixing. External representation is inherently interesting, but also really complicated in that you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. Even though the treaties prescribe competencies where the EU is exclusive and supplementary and shared and all that, when you look at the actual cases, it varies from case to case, so you need to look at it. And the other problem is that even the most exhaustive studies on how the EU is represented, they always fail to consider sports. So, because an institution like WADA doesn't really fit the models we have developed, so we need to consider how we explain this. So my main research question today is, how is the EU represented in external organizations dealing with sport? Why are these particular sets of procedures established? And now, how can we explain why the European Commission is only represented alongside its member states in the Council of Europe, but not the World Anti-Doping Agency? I'm drawing on a framework developed by Jonas Tallback, which focuses the intention on using generic institutional hypotheses to explain how institution design works as a process. So functional institutions would lead us to expect that institutions are created because of functional needs, and therefore the most likely causal mechanism is that there are functional problems that can be identified and need to be dealt with. Sociological institution wisdom would explain the form of the institution, the later stage, in that politicians and actors tend to draw on previously existing institutional models when building an institution. And power-oriented institutionalism leads us to expect that the distributional terms of this institution will reflect the wishes of the most resourceful actors. Moving on to the case studies, well, the anti-doping agency has a complicated history, which is related to the doping scandals in the late 90s and the establishment of WADA. From my perspective, the most interesting thing is that the Council adopted conclusions that specified that coordination should be the responsibility of the presidency and they should have the Commission alongside them. However, during the first years of this institution, the Commission had to withdraw because of budgetary procedures adopted by WADA were out of line with how the Commission and the European Union does budgets. So already here, the EU is not really willing or able to impose its wishes on this body. Then, to deal with this, the Commission opting out, an informal arrangement was adopted where the member states were represented by the incoming, the Troika, the rotating presidencies. And coordination took place under the auspices of the Council of Europe in Kahama. Now the European Union has 3 seats, the Council of Europe has 2 seats, and out of the government. WADA is governed by 50% by the member states, by governments and 50% by the sporting movement. The budget comes 50-50, and the governing board, which is called the foundation board, is governed equally as well, so there's parity. This informal arrangement worked for 10 years without being put on the agenda, but then the Belgian presidency took over the presidency and decided as one of the first things that you should look into would be to formalize these procedures, arguing that sport is now competency, and because WADA deals with issues of mixed competency, there needs to be a coordinated EU position in this area. This was related to a lot of background noise. You had the upcoming code review. The Commission had requested an opinion by the Article 29 Working Party, which had argued that the practices and the code of WADA were incompatible with EU law, especially on data protection. And as the previous panelists talked about, the European Union hadn't been very successful in WADA negotiations. At the same time, the Belgian presidency couldn't really deal with the things they wanted to because of program issues. And the solution to this was more coordination at the EU level. The Belgian presidency initiated this guideline mechanism, which involves looking over the agenda items and developing an EU position. These were not adopted the first time around, but the following presidencies kept this mechanism going, and it was ultimately formalized. At the same time, they started discussing the mode of representation, and they quickly came to the conclusion that the Troika mechanism is ineffective. And during a later ministerial meeting, they started considering the options, what's appropriate. There was the Commission representative for 3 years, flanked by two trios from 1.5 years, or a ministerial representative flanked by two trio presidencies. The Polish presidency who led these negotiations argued that legally the Commission should be represented. Then you can also argue that there's precedence in that the Commission used to be represented, and the Council of Europe Secretary General is represented in the Foundation Board as well. Still, the member states decided on the first option. So this is why it's not the, you know, the representation of the EU, but the representation of the EU member states. But the Commission is invited to present Acquis Communautaire Business in Kahama. With regard to match fixing, the context of this case is that the last few years has seen a lot of interest in this field at the European political level. There's been a number of cases and the Interpol investigations, and especially from 2011, this issue has grown at the EU level. I'll jump to some precedent conclusions. Adopted in 2011. They couldn't be adopted at the council level because of too much disagreement in the council. And here we basically have two different sides. You have the Maltese view on online betting and the French view on online betting, which is more regulatory, should we say. The conclusions that they were discussing didn't really... There was a lot of agreement, but this was the problem. The mention of online betting, especially that... Online betting, it was not only unregulated betting outside the EU, but also inside the EU. There's a tendency of talking, when match fixing, it's always the threat from the East. But still, the President's inclusion asked the Commission to consider asking for negotiating directives to join the Council of Europe Convention that was being developed. So, the Commission did. There was a strong wish among member states to have the Commission there in the drafting group for this potential convention, because match fixing is very complicated. It overlaps with a lot of EU competencies, integrity of sport, single market, we've got gambling and online betting, cross-border judicial cooperation on corruption, and data protection. At the same time, not all member states would be able to join the drafting convention, so that was also a motivation. So the question was not so much if the Commission should join this drafting group, but more how. Okay. It turned into a very legal discussion about what is the EU's role in international organizations, and the substance of the discussion went to the background. The Commission just wanted to be there they drew up a very short document, they just want to be guarding the treaties. But the member states wanted, essentially this case would set precedent for future cases as well, so they needed to be very, very precise. The result of this was that the negotiating directives for the Commission were very precise. but also shaped in a way where no one was really happy with the final result. The Commission couldn't correctly or couldn't strictly warn the member states on matters of online betting because there's no directive there. On the other side, a lot of the member states actually warned it. So that meant that Malta was unhappy because the convention, the EU legislation couldn't be respected. It went beyond EU legislation. At the same time, the member states that actually wanted more couldn't, were unhappy as well. So how do we explain the difference between why the Commission was delegated responsibilities of representation? It comes down to, I think the main explanation is the Foundation Board is limited. It cannot, there's only 3 seats, so the Commission, they would have to give up a seat, whereas in the Council of Europe, it could be alongside. At the same time, in the World Anti-Doping Agency, the problem was not so much expertise, but increasing continuity in the representation. So having the same people there at the board level. At the same time, the Commission didn't really seemingly push that much for getting this mandate for a number of different reasons. Yes, I think that's it.
Thank you very much, Mats.